I'll call the list tomorrow. And then tomorrow, I want to try to finish up going through the Shaka Vitaria, you know, with some of the details to pin down a little better in light of our discussion today. But today, I want to discuss the what we began discussing yesterday, and that is a question of how the Monia Mitzvos and some of the other Mefarshim who deal with the Bracha question, how they deal with the problem of Mitzvahs Gerushin or Iser Gerushin. And again, going back to the Rambam, just to you know, fill in the background of you know, the contrast to Ben Noach, which I think really, you know, really illuminates the Rambam's view. Okay, so what we began to talk about yesterday was that there seems to be a natural correlation, or at least you know, we would anticipate it's reasonable to think about the question of mitzvahs gerushin or iser gerushin in the same light as, or at least against the background of the biyatza v'haisa of kiddushin. On the one hand, there's obviously phenomenological parallel, you know, there. And at the same time, as we already noted, you know, they are opposites. And there's very, you know, instinctively we would be more likely to anticipate that there would be a mitzvah of kiddushin, since that's obviously a very happy and constructive institution. And clearly gerushin, as necessary as it is, you know, is an institution which, you know, is born out of a bidyevet situation, and maybe even worse. Maybe it's, you know, necessary, or maybe it's not necessary, but it's just, you know, part of the definition that there is such a thing. But the idea that that would be a mitzvah, you know, seems a little bit jarring. So even as we look at the two together, we can already expect, you know, that we might be mechalek between them. The fact that there is a bracha in associated with kiddushin, and we're not familiar with a bracha, the Rishonim discuss why there's no bracha, and that itself is fascinating, but that there's a bracha for erushin and there's no bracha for gerushin, you know, can be attributed, you know, to different things. But again, it's certainly food for thought. Does the bracha reflect the status of mitzvah? But of course, with respect to that, we need to just, you know, say a couple of words about, you know, v'hoisa, about kiddushin, and that's just to be aware, without going into that whole sugya, that of course there is a very prominent birchas erusin, and in addition to that you have, you know, the sheva brachos that are associated with nisuin, and connected to the chuppah. But, you know, whether or not these, you know, are relevant to mitzvah or not is a huge machlokas harishonim. So there is a group of rishonim, you know, even with respect, we'll say it this way, the majority view with regard to birchas nisuin is that they are birchas, you know, shevach v'hodah. That seems to be the pashtus. If you just look at the, you know, structure, the fact that there are six or seven, however you want to frame it, the content, you know, they read very much like Birchas Shavach V'Hodah, or maybe even a little more so, a Kiyum in the Ishus, not for now, but there is a view in the Rishonim that, you know, even, you know, Birchas Nisuin constitutes a Birchas a Mitzvah. The Rambam has a position in Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, that you say the Birchas Nisuin dafka prior to the Chuppah, and many Rishonim disagree with him in explaining that that view. So there's a discussion, you know, the Ran in Psachim seems to say that it's a kind of a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Beis Yosef and Evan HaEzer says even according to the Rambam it's not really a Birchas HaMitzvah. But as I say, the Ravid and the Ramach and most of the Rishonim are very dismissive of the idea that Birchas Nisun is a Birchas HaMitzvah. And say even the Rambam, who requires it, the equivalent of Over L'Asiyasan, doesn't explain that it's Midin, you know, the general principle of Kol HaMitzvos, Mevarchen Aleihem Over L'Asiyasan. in my opinion, doesn't portray it that way. It's more that, you know, what it is that the brachos are supposed to accomplish, that is what, you know, demands or mandates that they be prior to rather than following the nisuin. Or it might have to do with, you know, chupa haroi labia, whatever. Again, the details are not important, but birchas nisuin, aside from the ran and psachim, the pashtus has nothing to do with mitzvah. But birchas eirusin, of course, that is a major discussion among the rishonim. The general view is that you know, that the rush in ksuvas is of the opinion that it's a birchas shevach v'hoda. There's a debate whether or not you make, you know, birchas eirusin prior or following, you know, the kiddushin, but you know, the Rishonim were of the opinion that you make it after. There seem to be two explanations for it. One is, you know, a chashash of bracha levatala, the Raivid, a discussion of balitosis in Psachim, and that is that, you know, maybe you know, when you pop the question, you know, the woman might say no. So that, you know, that's a chashash of bracha levatala. You know, I don't know whether or not they discussed it before or didn't discuss it before, but either way, that's one reason to make the bracha afterwards. But of course, the other more fundamental reason is if it really isn't a birchas mitzvah at all, it's a birchas shavak v'hoda, and that's generally, you know, how the rush in ksuvos is understood. The rush, you know, argues that there maybe there really isn't, you know, a mitzvah's kiddushin at all. Maybe it's just a hechsher mitzvah, and therefore doesn't require birchas mitzvah. Again, you have to speak to Aaron because he, you know, has his own special take, right, on the rush, and you know, which is very interesting. But you know, by and large, birchas eirusin, you know, according to a small group of rishonim, is also a birchas shevach of the hoda. Obviously, the fact that it is a birchas shevach the hoda reflects that the institution of kiddushin or nisuin, or the anticipation of purim deribya, you know, that all of that is perceived, you know, in a very constructive way. You don't to wax eloquent, you know, you don't rhapsodize, you know, when you're, you know, feeling negative, and not even when you're ambivalent, you, you know, you rhapsodize when you're, you know, in a state of rhapsody, which means when you're in a joyous state and you're, there's a certain, you know, clarity about the not only constructive but like pivotal stature of what it is that you're about to do. So even if it's you know, birchas shevach v'hoda, the bracha doesn't prove that there's a mitzvah, but of course the bracha reflects that, you know, the institution of ishus is, you know, not only admired but, you know, perceived as, you know, like a pivotal, you know, reflection of Kedushas Yisrael. However, the majority view goes even further than that, and that is that the Birchas Eirusin is really a Birchas HaMitzvah. Why it's so long and why it, you know, is formulated the way that it is, again, that's not our topic right now, even though I think it's very, you know, I'll just say one thing about it for a minute, but this is, of course, the famous Shita of the Rambam, but not only the Rambam, but probably the majority view of the Rishonim. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Ishus explains that the bracha has to be said over Latsiyasan, and that it is, you know, included under the rubric of that rule in Psachin Dav Zayin, Kol Amitzos Mivarchen Aleim over Latsiyasan. Rambam goes on to say that, like all Birchas HaMitzvah, in his opinion, this is something that he also says in Perek Gid Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, that any Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, that is supposed to be recited prior to a mitzvah, I'm saying it that way for a reason, I'll explain in a second, if you don't say it in advance, right, then, you know, Ovar, you know, Zmano, and, you know, Masha Asa Asa, you can't say it afterwards. That's a big debate among the Rishonim, the Orzarua, in Hilchos Brachos, quoted also in Lagos Oshri, quotes at Or Zeruah, disagreed. They thought that even though you're supposed to say Berachas HaMitzvah in advance, that, you know, b'di'evid, you could say it after the fact as well. But the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Gedalet, that's where the Rambam has the klalim of Berachas HaMitzvah. And then in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus, when he talks about, if somebody could just get the Rambam open for a second, when he talks about, Birchas Eirusin, Eli, have it there. Okay, we have to welcome Eli back properly by utilizing his talents. Right, was it Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet? Right, so there the Rambam says the same, this principle, and he makes it very, very clear. Okay, this is not our topic, but just in terms of background. Go ahead. Chaf Gimel, correct. Oh, so it's Kederach Shemavarch and Alkala Mitzvos, number one. And number two, it's, Dafka Kodem, go ahead. Mashanasa Farnasa, that is, so if you look in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, you know, that is the Rambam L'shitaso. So it's perfectly, and who makes the bracha, the Birchas Eirusin? Exactly, I mean the Mekadesh. Whether it's the Mekadesh or his agent, you know, he's the one, you know, who makes, because it's his bracha, because it's his mitzvah. Right. We're knowing, of course, that the Masada Kedusha makes the Birchas Eirusin. If it was Birchas Shevach Lodah, that would make a lot of sense. Since it's Birchas HaMitzvah, according to most Rishonim, that's like an issue. And the Chachmei Ashkenaz already suggested that, like, not every chassan knows how to make the bracha or knows how to make the bracha properly. You know, so for other reasons, we have the Masada Kedusha make the bracha. But according to the Rambam, you know, it's perfectly consistent that the Rambam has a comment of it says, Ohu O Shlucho, right? Or Bain. I'll read it one more time, Ellie, at the beginning. Bain Hu, Bain Shliach, right? Or Bain Shlucho. Bein Ayidei Atzma, Bein Ayidei HaShliach. So that, of course, is a very fascinating issue. It sounds like, you know, the Rambam is just, covering the bases, and there's certainly nothing controversial. I mean, anybody who's been at a wedding, you know, where the chassan wasn't able to make it, and, you know, his shliach was the one who was Mekadesh. Anybody been at such a wedding? I'm like, raring to be at such a wedding at some point. But, we'll know that, according to the Rambam, the shliach should make the wedding, should make the bracha. But there's a certain background in all of this, and that is that there's a whole... again, you wouldn't notice it for the Rambam. This is like a good, kind of, again, a glimpse into, the way, the genius of the Rambam and his, writing capacity. There's nothing in that Rambam, that seems controversial or even comment-worthy, aside from what we already talked about, which is, the Overlas Yasan, the invoking of Perek Aleph Hilchos Brachos, etc. But by sneaking in the words, or just like, but why does he have to mention Ohu O Shlucho? So there's a whole literature in, Bali Tosis make reference to it more obliquely, the Chachmei Provence, talk about it very explicitly. The Ravid in Tzmim Deim has a tshuva about this, and other Chachmei Provence have different versions of it. The Archaim, the Meiri. There were some who were of the opinion that when a shliach is mekadesh, that either you don't make the Birchas Eirusin at all, or you bundle the Birchas Eirusin at the time of the Nisuin, when the chassan finally shows up. He definitely has to be there for the Nisuin, especially according to the Rambam, because that's Yichud. So when the Rambam says Ohu O Shlucho or whatever, and it sounds like very innocuous, what he's really doing is he is, you know, basically saying, I want to weigh in on this, controversy, about whether a shliach. Now, why is that important, and why am I telling it to you now, aside from the fact that we're reading that Rambam, and therefore, you should, be familiar with what he's doing and also appreciate, how he wrote something in a seamless way, which can just be read kipshuto. Or, once you know the background, you also realize just how the economy and the, and the ability to kind of weave these things in and to write on different levels at the same time is a particular, talent, that the Rambam has. But in addition to that, there's an important element here, and that is that, it's very possible that an Arison, that even Arison itself, may not have been subject to a bracha, or at least certain ways of accomplishing Arison may not have been, subject, or may not have triggered the requirement of a bracha. And that would be because Arison, especially according to the Rambam, Udi'imei, this is a big argument, and we'll get back to it in our Matzah B'Shasa, although I alluded to it already. The two stages or the two, dimensions of Ishus, Arison and Nisuin. So the question is, what is the relationship between them? And particularly for, the Rambam Udi'imei, in my opinion, what the Arison adds, to the Nisuin, and the reason it needs to be prior, and the reason according to the Rambam, that's the mitzvah, and I already made allusion to the fact that in the Gemara in Ma'id Katan, there's kind of like a fault line transition, is because, the Rambam was of the opinion that, not only does the Arison provide like the contractual and the formal part, etc., but the fact that it is dafka an oser, which kind of paves the way for the matir, that itself, is the mitzvah, in a way. So there are other Rishonim who see, Arison and Nisuin as a progression, in a much more, typical fashion. In other words, you don't get the full heter isha labala, certainly not practically, through Arison. That only comes for Nisuin. But you're working towards that, already, or you're closer, certainly not more distant. It can be demonstrated that according to the Rambam, and according to some other Rishon, the Ravid and Shita Mekubetzes and Ksuvos, actually in Shita Yishana there, say it the most explicitly, in Birchas Arison, when we say V'osar lanu eso arusos, so the Ravid says that's Doraisa, and actually the relationship of husband and wife is more distant than a panu pnuya after Arison. Arison isn't just, not yet a heter isha labala, and it's not just, neutral in that respect. Never mind, that it would bring you closer, albeit, not yet, conclude that heter. But according to the Ravid, and in my opinion, according to the Rambam, in some respects, the Arison makes you more distant. The Ravid actually uses the expression, and Shita Yishana uses the expression, that, she's, the Iser Oris Larusa is Doraisa, and worse than Panui Aval Apnuya, because she's an Eishes Ish. Of course, that's a little bit shocking, because, she is an Eishes Ish, but she's his Eishes Ish. So, which, of course, also establishes that there's something called a shame Eishes Ish. And it's not just about, violating somebody else's, begida, or, somebody else's, exclusive rights. There's something called a shame Eishes Ish, even vis-a-vis, him. Of course, there's no Eishes Ish with respect to the consequence of Chiyuv Misa, but that's because there's no begida. In a way, this in-between status is very fascinating in that it is, she's formally in a certain status, even vis-a-vis him, and therefore there's greater distance. And at the same time, again, she's his Eishes Ish, so the begida component isn't there, and that's why there's certainly no capital, offense. Why am I telling you all this? So you could have thought, that Birchas Arison shouldn't be a Birchas HaMitzvah, for another reason, and that is because, even though you know, the Eirusin, you know, is contributing to the Nisuin. In the end of the day, it's about, it's an Oser, not really a lot here. Do we really, would we make a bracha on an Oser, right? The Kamashul one, of course, is that this is an Oser, you know, but it's L'shem Heter. The purpose of the greater distance for the Rambam, you know, for the Halacha, if the Rambam is right, is that, you know, it's a, again, it's an investment, you know, in Kedusha, which makes the Heter, you know, a Davar Shebe Kedusha. This goes back to what I was talking about, and, you know, it's really important, you know, about the prehistory, you know, and why the Rambam begins with it, Kodem Matan Torah, Adam Pogea Yisha V'Shuk, Ratzahu Ratz Tahi. I think I mentioned that Moshe Soloveitchik thought, oh, because this is like the history of, you know, of marriage and history of chuppah, you know, is where chuppah comes from. But I think it's more than that. I think the idea is the goal of the Ishus is the chuppah, the nisuin, the intimate relationship of husband and wife, not only physically, but existentially, and symbolized also physically. But the, you know, unique halachic pathway to accomplish that is, you know, with Erikium and an Erisin, which is independent before Nisuin, and an Erisin, which actually is an Oser, you know, that is an investment in the Matir. It's a different kind of Matir, you know, because you've established these ground rules, you know, in this, and that's how I view the Rambam's view of Kiddushin. I think, by the way, that's, you know, the Rush, who has this different perspective on Birchas Erisin, you know, it's very much rooted in, and not only the Rush, but, you know, others struggle, everybody struggles with this. You know, why you have this very long bracha, and why the content of the bracha seems, in the beginning at least, you know, to be all over the map, and partially very negative, right? That's what the Rush is highlighting, in sense, you know. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah savet zivanu, that part is okay. You know, al ha'arayos, right, v'osar lanu as harusos, and only then v'hitir lanu as hanisuos, but that's all yidei chuppah, which comes first, v'kiddushin. It's like, it's a very strange bracha. The Rosh says, oh, because it's a birchas shach. Hodoya, why did you say, asher kiddushanu b'tosin tzivanu, you know, l'kadesh sa'isha, or al kiddusha sa'isha, or, you know, then being, you know, besada kiddushin at a wedding wouldn't be nearly, you know, as, like, enjoyable. You know, if it was such a short, not just because you would be less melodious, but just like the bracha itself is just an incredible bracha. You know, every time you say it, you know, there's a certain inspiration in it. But according to the Rambam, in my view, it's the perfect birchas hamitzvah for Erusin, because the whole point is that it is, what you're really saying is, what's the nature of this special mitzvah? The kuchenei l'mitzvah say, the kiddush of mat Torah. So what you're saying is, the chiddush of Matan Torah is that we view Ishus, you know, as this davar shebe kedusha, and the reason there are so many limitations and so many forbidden relationships, illicit relationships, and so many rules, you know, about, you know, how, you know, you construct a bayis nema b'Yisrael and so on, and the rules themselves, is because this is kind of a, you know, this is the methodology. So if you want to know the nature of the mitzvah, the bracha is actually completely perfect, you know, for this mitzvah. The Rambam didn't say this, but I'm saying it on his behalf, confidently. You know, so if you want to describe it, it's asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah osavet zivanu al arayos. You know, why do you need erusin kodem l'kiddushin? And why is that a mitzvah? The answer is, for the same reason, because this is a davar shebe kedusha. And not only that, but the investment of the Oser before the Matir is part of that story. You know, the Osar Lanu is Harusos. And the Heter is only going to come Aydei Nisuin, which is the next stage, and that isn't the mitzvah. But this mitzvah is what is, you know, giving content, giving substance, you know, to the ultimate Heter. So it's actually very, very long-winded, and a bracha like no other, an unparalleled bracha, and it's the perfect bracha to describe this particular mitzvah. That's what I think. Why am I telling you all this now? So, again, so you take it from that point of view, you can understand a little bit, you know, that it's kind of like teetering on the border between, like, you know, on the one hand, this is all an investment, this is what the mitzvah is, this is the, what it contributes to, etc. So I think that the Chachmei Provence, on the other hand, we're thinking, or let me say it this way, even if you were to hold the general view of the Rambam, you know, you could have said, well, you know, Arison, you know, what it accomplishes, what it is, assuming it's all this, is very critical, very important. You know, but a bracha, it's a, you know, maybe it's a bit of a sour note to the bracha, because initially there's this greater distance, there's this oser part, maybe it's necessary, but would you make a bracha on it? Which goes to the question also about Birchas HaMitzvah. You know, we're going to get to that in a second, obviously, even in the Gittin context. This is all just on the, you know, Kiddushin parallel, but obviously everything that I'm saying is kind of, you know, connected to what we're about to apply more specifically to Gerushin. So let's say there's a kind of, you know, ambivalence, you know, in the mitzvah, in the sense that, you know, it's Dvar Hashem, and obviously it contributes in one way or another, right, to the goal of Kedusha and Chayo Ishus. I always like to mention that, you know, some of the Gaonim were troubled by the Nusach of Mekadesh Yisrael, or Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Al Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. I mention this, because again, we have that a lot in the Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, but rarely in the Chasim HaTzabracha. But my view is that, like, if you want a little snapshot, you know, of what Kedusha means, you know, if this is exactly, you know, it. Kedusha as Prisha, as an Oser, you know, not for the sake of being Poresh and being Oser, but as an investment, you know, in transforming and elevating and giving greater joy even and depth, Yil Simcha, you know, to what comes afterwards. So it's Mekadosh Amo Yisrael. But the point is, when you have this kind of ambivalence, right, you know, do you make a bracha or you don't make a bracha? Like, it's a bit of a question. Right? So some Rishonim in the, which we're about, we'll see some in a minute regarding Gershon, but in the Rabbi Yosef, you know, Ibn Palat, you know, Ravi Avad, you know, in that whole, you know, exercise, you know, where, you know, the Gaonim, the Rishonim, the Achronim are all trying to figure out how come, you know, there are things that are mitzvos which get a bracha and there are some that don't, you know, and what's the rule? So the idea of, you know, a kilkul or some sort of like a negative, you know, element, I'm not sure about ambivalence, but certainly things that reflect Rabbi Yehavid or that themselves have like a jarring, or as I say, we'll keep it at that, an ambivalent, you know, kind of a note, you know, do they always require brachos or not? So, for example, getting back to the point, so the Chachmei Provence have this fascinating view that whether you make a bracha or not, or when you make the bracha, you know, may depend on whether the Kiddushin was Al Yidei Shliach or Biatzma. You know, why should that matter? Of course, it's a bigger question if you wouldn't make it at all, but, you know, or even on the, if the best time to make the bracha and the real mitzvah is the Erusin, or even if that's the Tchilas, you know, HaNesu'in, you know, why would the Shliach or the Baal, you know, be a difference maker, you know, when it comes to applying that issue, right? Mishnah says in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin that, you know, the Ish is Mekadesh, you know, Bo Bishlucho, and the Ish is Miskadesh, as Bo Bishlucha. And the Gemara, you know, has Limudim about, you know, why Shlichus works, and you have to compare the Shlichus of Kiddushin and the Shlichus of Gerushin, which will have ample opportunity to do. But Shlucho Shalom is Kemoso, so like, what difference does it make? And that's why when the Rambam says it, Bein Hu, Bein Shlucho, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, most people don't even notice it, you know, but when you stop and think about it, and then if you know the background, you know, of the discussions of other Rishonim, but they're not so much the mainstream Rishonim, so a lot of people just didn't register for a lot of people. Like, why, what is the shlichus, and why would that make a difference? But I think the answer is that if, like Erusin, you know, is an oser, you know, that is a precondition for the matir, you know, then you may look at it differently, you know, if it's being done directly by the husband, who in the end is also going to, you know, complete the nisuin, or whether you farmed it out and you kind of, you know, are doing it formally and technically, but distantly. In other words, you know, when it's not the husband, then the oser part, you know, is even, and the formal part, you know, the pure kinyan part, is more accentuated. And, you know, when it's the husband who himself is going to complete the process through the nisuin, you know, then the idea of, you know, this oser being like an investment in the matir, you know, and therefore neutralizing the ambivalent part, or, you know, in the bigger picture, rendering the whole thing, you know, just that, an investment, you know, is more clear. So I think that's why, you know, there is this view in the Gonim, a little echoed in the Bali Tosis, explicated in the, you know, Chachmei Provence. And the Rambam, when he writes what he writes, he knows all this. I mean, you know, he was familiar with some of these discussions, I think, clearly. And that's why it's not miutar, it's not superfluous when he adds the words. It's not like, well, that's obvious, but, you know, not problematic. It's still not problematic. That's the psak, the mainstream psak. But there are cholkim, and I think, you know, what the Rambam is saying is, it doesn't matter. My view, it's almost like a, you know, a bigger rejoinder even to the, well, maybe not. I was going to say to Rambam, but I pick on it a little bit too much, you know, so I really shouldn't. So, but the point is that the Rambam is saying, no, this Oser piece, you know, which distinguishes Ishus of Klal Yisrael, you know, that's something to make a bracha on. But this is the perfect bracha, you know, to make. But having said that, so that's the Rambam's view, and the mainstream view is that, you know, we make the bracha in advance, that it is a birchas hamitzvah. Again, not everybody sees it exactly as the Rambam does, that it's accentuating the Oser. Some of them think that it's, you know, tchilas ha-nisuin. You know, again, the whole discussion in Rishonim and Ksuvos about the nusach of, you know, why chuppah is before kiddushin, both in the, you know, in the text and also in the chasima. You know, there are like the Ramban and then, you know, and the Rashba and the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the Miri, you know, about the exact relationship between the two phases. You know, is nisuin the completion of the erusin? Is the erusin the tchilas on nisuin? Are they chatzis? You have like a whole range. Not for now, because we're not learning kedusha. So, but the point is that, you know, that the bracha, according to most Rishonim, not necessarily, maybe not those who think it's shevach v'hudah, but certainly those who think it's a birchas mitzvah, reflects the mitzvah. And then you have this secondary interesting discussion. Let's say you have a mitzvah, you know, which has, you know, some ambivalent elements, you know, does that still get a bracha or not? Having said that, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Say again?
But it's better than using Kaddish by yourself,
right? Yeah, well, that, I mean, Bo Yosem
B'Shlucho. Right, that's only four halachos earlier.
Right. Well, again, Bo Yosem B'Shlucho, is a really interesting issue. Of course, that's Noveya from the, you know, the Mishnah of the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak. And the Gemara does give other examples of it, including like Hachana, you know, Erev, you know, Shabbos, you know, the people taking like a personal. But it's interesting, is that like a general, you know, like we talked, you know, yesterday about a Hilchos Deos kind of halakha? Is this like a general, you know, meta halachic, you know, you should always like try to, you know, your enthusiasm and your personal involvement, you know, is always preferred? Is that all this is, and this is just an example of that? Or is it something very singular about, you know, Kiddushin too, maybe about Oneg Shabbos as well? Or again, the way the Rambam, you know, formulates one is not necessarily the way formulates the other, even though the Gemara connects them. So I think what Yehuda is saying is that in light of this, you might, in light of this whole discussion of you know, the Gonim, the Bali Tosas, especially the Chachmei Provence, Rambam. So the idea that Bo Yoser and Bishlucho, I think is what we're saying, right, assumes even greater Hilchos Ishus meaning in that, like, you know, it's better for you to be the one, you know, who's personally involved.
But even still,
right, I'm saying as long as the Rambam thinks that it's Bein Hu, Bein Bishlucho, you know, that's not, there's no steerer between that and saying that Bo is better. On the contrary, maybe part of the reason why you have to emphasize that is because it's second best. And it's second best, if it's second best, just because, you know, in the world, in Hilchos Avodas, you know, Hashem, you know, here I'm not talking about Hilchos Deos, but in Hilchos Avodas Hashem, it's always better, you know, to be personally involved, all things being equal, than to farming things out, because it reflects a certain, you know, enthusiasm and immersion and so on and so forth. They're like, you know, that wouldn't be a reason for there to be a Havamina, that would affect the bracha. But if, you know, that could be the tipping point in an Oser, whether it can qualify, you know, for being like a Dvar Simcha, you know, or just like a technical transaction, you know, then that is important and you need to address it. That's, I think, what you're saying. Okay, good. Yeah, I like that. It's a very good point. Okay, good. So having said that, I think that there are... So when we think about all this, even in Kiddushin, this is what I've tried to contribute just now, two things. Number one, that the question whether something is a mitzvah and the relationship that it has to whether or not it triggers a bracha, particularly a berachas hamitzvah, you know, is an important, you know, issue. And that even if something is a mitzvah, the idea that that it would, you know, generate a bracha, you know, isn't automatic, and very, very much may depend on our attitude towards, you know, what this mitzvah accomplishes, and this question of, you know, whether it's positive, whether it's negative, even if it's necessary, whether it's ambivalent, etc. Moreover, even, you know, the other point is that, you know, I was saying that vis-a-vis Geirushin, you know, Kiddushin has a huge upside in terms of the likelihood of being counted as a mitzvah, you know, and getting a bracha, because obviously it's, you know, it's constructive and even more maybe like emblematic of Kiddushas Yisrael. But I'm just trying to point out that even in Kiddushin, this could be kind of, you know, a bit, you know, of an issue. And, you know, especially on the bracha side, in addition to the question whether, you know, Kiddushin is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo or hechsher mitzvah p'ri v'rivya, or how, what its relationship exactly is to Eruvin and Nisuin on a technical level, right, there is also this other, you know, issue, and that is that, you know, even though the process is leading to Simcha and Heter, as I say, that if indeed we're talking about a step backwards first, you know, that might have been a problem, or that at least is an issue. And these are echoes of that, you know, issue, etc. So when you think about it, certainly on every level, you know, Kiddushin is a much better candidate for being a mitzvah and for requiring a bracha, whether it's Birchas Shavach V'Hodah, or, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah, each in its own way, then Geirushin. On the other hand, depending on the circumstances of the Geirushin, or, you know, the extent to which, in the end of the day, as ambivalent or even sad as it is, you know, if it's a constructive, you know, institution, even one which, again, kind of safeguards the Kedusha of the Ishus itself, then the idea that, you know, it could count as a mitzvah, not just as a matir, and that maybe in theory at least, you know, it could still trigger a bracha, you know, that becomes possible, right? Okay, so having said that, was a question, or we're, yeah, Kyle.
Discussion regarding Birchas Erusin relate back to Matzah Drushah, so meaning we say Mishnisa is Bachar, Mishnari is Bachar, when she has Irisim with someone else.
Say that one more time?
Maybe when she has Irisim with someone else, is that enough to trigger the Israel?
Yeah, we're still going to get back to that.
So I'm saying, with this Birchas Irisim discussion, is that way affect on how we do Irisim in order to trigger Matsu Rishasu?
Well, first of all, there is an issue. This isn't what you're asking, but you know, I'll go back for a second to something that I mentioned, and that is that you know there are explicit things about Machzor Grushaso Beheter, you know, which differ from regular issues, as we discussed Nakiya Lebeso, Cholamoed. Then there are discussions in Rishonim, either pertaining to issues of Simcha, like Sheva Brachos or Shasimcha Bimono, or Asher Bara, or relating, you know, even further to the either lapse back into a previous Ishus, or maybe into the quality of the Ishus. And that, from that point of view, the Gaonic discussion, whether you say Birchas Irusin, you know, for Matzah Grushaso, you know, is a very, you know, interesting dimension. You know, for that. Either as in terms of lapse, like, you know, you don't have to say it because you're kind of using lapsing, not fully, obviously. But I think also this idea of ambivalence and, you know, the role of that bracha, et cetera, that might actually just be different in Matsu Grishasa or what. I think that, you know, made the point. I think what you're asking is a little bit different, and that is in the debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur in Yevamos, this is what I think you were asking, right? On Yud Aleph Amud Beis, whether or not Erusin Beli Nisuin is the basis for being Oser, you know, Matzah Grushaso, right? Do these factors, you know, come into play? Meaning, if you look at Erusin mostly as an Oser, you know, not so much as Tchila Samatir, you know, would that be a factor in this argument? And I do think the answer is yes, and I kind of alluded to my answer to, you know, the question that Aaron asked, and you know, the parallel ha'ara about, you know, the Koteret and the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos and the Rambam. You know, what role or how you look at, you know, at that argument, you know, may be linked to how you look at Erusin, you know, vis-a-vis Nisuin. So I'll explain more what I mean when we get, you know, when we sum that up. But yeah, it's a great point. Okay, so now let's talk about, you know, concretely, what people say about Geirushin. You know, what people moan, are people moaning Kiddushin v'Geirushin, but especially Geirushin, or not? So we noted the other day, I won't spend too long, because that the Bahag and the Uraim do not count, you know, neither Kiddushin nor Geirushin. So they're equal, you know, seemingly equal opportunity, you know, omitters of these mitzvahs. Of course, it's still a little bit different in that, you know, when you omit, you know, Kiddushin, it could very well be, you know, that, and this is where the Rosh comes in as well, and that is because it's under the rubric of Piri Varivya. I mean, you know, it's only a Heksher mitzvah. Whereas Geirushin, obviously you don't have that kind of, you know, cover. So it's not, oh, it's already included. It would be superfluous to have a separate mitzvah. So then you're basically saying Kiddushin is either a Heksher or it's included in Piri Varivya. Get just doesn't qualify. But on another level, you are saying that the institutions, at least, of you know, Kiddushin and Geirushin are more businesslike, meaning they are, you know, they're kinyanim, they create a status, or they undo a status, or they create an opposite status, and, you know, but that isn't the mitzvah. And especially if you say, like, in all cases, it's a mirtzah, and a mirtzah, of course, maybe there's no mitzvah. So it's a little bit, you know, since it's mostly silence, it's always more, you know, challenging to interpret silence than when people explicate, you know, why they're either doing something or omitting something. The effect is that both are treated the same. I'm basically wondering, is it because they really are the same, their transactions, their statuses, they're not mitzvos, or is it in the case of Kiddushin, you know, because it's, you know, it's subsumed? Yeah, there was a question? Josh, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering,
Did you have a question?
No.
I thought I saw. Oh, yeah.
The Baha'i does count. I mean, I don't know if he counts it. His official count, he writes it in the Mrs. Mixer, but he's like,
yeah. Right. So the question is, you know, I'm going to get to that also. And Sajigon may hold that way as well, correct? So what do you make of that? Correct. Exactly. So that's exactly how I would, you know, it's not an individual mitzvah. It's not mutal alayachid. It's the, you know, Reb Sajigon, the Bahag, there are a few of them. They have this, you know, the Rambam doesn't have this category of, you know, mitzvos, you know, ala tzibur. Or in the Reb Sajigon's case, it's all like, you know, or parshios, let's say. But being counted, you know, there, you know, as opposed to, like, you know, individual mitzvah, is a very different experience. So I agree with you 100%. It sounds like, you know, this comes under the rubric of what we were saying, you know, could be Bezdin's responsibility or the Chachamim's, meaning Klal Yisrael's in charge of or has a mitzvah to oversee and preside over, you know, these institutions. But there's no chiyuv to get married, to get divorced, even under conditions. The derech that you do it isn't a mitzvah. What you know, what is a mitzvah, again, is, you know, that you know, these institutions have to be protected by Klal Yisrael. And that is meaningful, but that's different than what we're talking about. Right? Okay. So that's the Bahag and the Urayim. Like in the Rush, it's hard to know. You know, the Rush would say there's no mitzvah, you know, in Minyan a mitzvahs for Kiddushin, because it's only a Hakshar. But only because it's only a Hakshar, frankly. You know, would the Rush count Geirushin? In we don't have a Minyan a mitzvah, so the Rush. So it's hard to know. Okay. The possibility of being Mechalek is something Yossi mentioned the other day. Do we have the language of the Rivash? So let's just look at the Rivash for a moment in Shin Sadechas, a very important Shuvah. And here again is where you get caught up, so we might as well just make the comment here right away. What is the effect, you know, of there being a bracha or not? So again, if there's a birchas a mitzvah, then there's obviously a mitzvah. But not every mitzvah has a bracha. So, you know, the very discussion, why isn't there, you know, implies that we're dealing, if we're talking about birchas a mitzvah, implies that we're dealing with a mitzvah. The conclusion that there's no bracha could mean there's no mitzvah, or could be, you know, based on an explanation that this is not really a mitzvah, or it's a mitzvah, you know, of a different type entirely, like you were just saying, and would tell us ala tzibur, it's a parsha, or it could just be a technical limitation in terms of bracha, just like we were talking about, you know, a couple of minutes ago. So, the Yossi, have the tshuva?
Yes.
This is Shin Sari Ches.
Yes.
It
says, Uvadami Ligirishim.
Uvadai Shilaki. Yeah, have it. Go ahead.
So, what is it?
Let's start from Uvadai. Isn't that?
Yeah.
The part that. Uvadai Shilaki Hasisha Bikidusha Mitzasase? Am I going further or am I going backwards?
I'm going behind
you. I'm going backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier. Okay, yeah. Ubevadai shalakichas isha bekidushin? Is it there?
Yeah, so he says, Ubevadai shalakichas isha bekidushin mitzvah saseiv, ina din levad.
Oh, so by the way, just to make it clear, right? Lekichas isha bekidushin mitzvah saseiv, ina din levad, meaning that's an important line, that's the contrast. Meaning, it could be this is a transaction, or a category, or a definition, right? That doesn't mean it's a mitzvah. Right. Go ahead. Shaharei tiknu babracha. Kishar ha-mitzvahs. So he's assuming it's a berachas ha-mitzvah, right? And that wherever there is a berachas ha-mitzvah, there's a mitzvah. That's a good assumption. The afalpi. This is, of course, the issue of the Rush and everybody else. Oh, so here... V'hi ke'ein birchas ha-shevach. So again, everything I just said about you know, how would the Rambam respond to the Rosh, you know, regarding, you know, the length of the bracha, the substance of the bracha, you know, the fact that it isn't just a, you know, regular, you know, bracha ketzara, lekadesh al kedushas, al mitzvahs, whatever it is. So this is an important rosh, right? It's kedusha yaseir li Yisrael be'inyan azivud ke'ein berchas hashevach, and that's exactly what it is. Just that I would, you know, I can't take a shvuah daraisa that Rivash is saying everything that I said. You know, he might just be saying, you know, there's more at stake here. There's more kids kedusha yaseir. He might be making a quantitative statement, but certainly these words, whether he meant them fully or not, fully. Embody, you know, what I was describing, you know, for the Rambam. It's a different, you have to explain why this is a mitzvah, why it's not ambivalent, why, you know, this is the mitzvah, you know, the Kiddushin Kodim L'Nisuin, why you say Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, etc. Okay, good. So, but it's a good line. These are both good lines. Ulefito Recha.
Ulefito Recha, in Kan Mitzvah Klal.
So he said this, he's responding to, you know, the Shoel. He's saying, if, you know, according to your view, this is an alternative view of Kiddushin, right? The mitzvah is b'yichud levad, right? Where she's meaning what? The focus is on the Nisuin. Again, we're not learning Kiddushin here, it only seems like we are, but. We're learning Geirushin. So I'm not going to go into all these issues, but this is what I was alluding to. I mean, how do you relate, how do you understand the relationship between the phases? You know, that, you know, maybe Dafka, only the Nisuin is the mitzvah. It's like what it sounds like in the Havamina and Moed Kata, right? Which is what Rambam is trying to integrate. I'm suggesting that Havamina was the Gamri, you know, turned around 180 degrees in the discussion of that Gemara. But anyway, so he's saying, yeah. The other perspective is, it's not a mitzvah at all. So be yichud levad ki esh asish gemura, meaning with the chuppah. Go ahead. Ve'ina kiddushin osin rakhi v'isa love all that. Meaning, what's that mean?
I mean, it's just an oser.
Exactly. It's an oser. Right? It's a step back. Or if it isn't an oser, you know, it's just a formal din. You know, he doesn't say, you know, that the iser arus la rusaso is more chamor than panu avala panuya. He doesn't say that. Other people say that. But, you know, what he certainly is saying is that this is, like you said before, it's a din, it's a status. She's an eshes ish. That's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the simcha part, the heterisha labala, the breaking down of the barriers, the existential bond, etc. Okay, but he says v'lama tiknu bracha al mitzvah kazu shehi din levad lechiyuv misa hanoef v'lo ledavar acher, meaning a mitzvah that is only a negative, you know, that brings, you know, more onesh. Like, why would you make a mitzvah on that? Why would you make a bracha on that? If that's all that this was. Right. Go ahead. It's a mitzvah gemura, meaning all these elements. Either he's saying, you know, it's tchilas, you know, hanisuin vahet or whatever, or he's saying, yeah, all of this is an investment, you know, which makes that, you know, not only possible, but, you know, kind of creates that, and that's the mitzvah. Okay, so this part of the Rivash is really very important, you know, objectively speaking, for Mitzvah's Kiddushin. But now comes exactly what we're trying. What about Geirushin? Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
Is he so much emphasizing the, like, ambivalence of Kiddushin, or just that it triggers?
Or just that?
That, like, it triggers a halachic status.
When he's explaining that it's what the Shoel's view or his own view?
His alternative view.
Yeah, I think he's saying that. So he's saying it's a din, it's an institution, it's a kinyan.
It's not about that it's negative.
Right, no, but what he is saying is it's not a mitzvah, it's a din. The haraya that it's a din.
That's all it does.
is yeah, but Lama Tiknu Bracha al Mitzvah Zushi Din Bavad Lechiyuv Mitzvah Sanoef. I think that has a bit of a connotation, like, you know, number one, you don't make a bracha on a din, and number two, you certainly wouldn't make a bracha, you know, on a din, you know, which is, you know, detrimental. Not detrimental, you know, in the bigger picture, but, you know, which basically has negative consequences, right? So I think there is an element of that too. Okay. Okay, velo dami legerushin, here comes, this is a key line. Ah. Meaning, gerushin isn't a mitzvah. Gerushin is a din, it's a stat. It's the unraveling of the Eish HaSish, or the matir of the Eish, whatever it is, it's not, you know, a mitzvah at all. Shaharel. Oh. So this is, of course, very fascinating. Shaharel Yesh Gerushin. Sonu Hamishaleach. Sonu Hamishaleach, of course, comes from, you know, the Pasuk and from the Gemara that we just read, which is why I wanted to get all the Gemara in, even though we're going to pin down a few more things about it in advance. But basically, one of the things that the Rivash is doing here is, you know, he's telling us, you know, number one, he's assuming that Sonu Hamishaleach, probably assuming it's a Gerushin halacha. And again, he's also invoking Hamagarish Ishto Rishon Afil Mizbeach Morud L'Dma'os. You know, clearly, number one, he's not suggesting that this is only a bracha halacha, right? He's using the bracha here to signify, you know, the status. You know, is it din or is it mitzvah? He's also assuming something else, Yossi, that we don't distinguish between different scenarios in Gerushin, you know, where, because you bring a raya from the case, Shasoni Amshalech, where we think that the guy shouldn't be Megarish, right? What about the cases where we think that, you know, that he should be Megarish? Maybe in those cases it's a mitzvah. So the assumption is that all of Gerushin is a single institution, you know, vis-a-vis mitzvah u bracha. That the idea of saying, oh, it's a mitzvah to garish under certain, you know, conditions, that's not, at least so far, that's not viable. And we'll see that other Rishonim disagree. Is this a logical position? Sure, because it's all one cheftza shel, you know, gerushin. There's no difference between, you know, the conditions of the get when it comes to the effect of the get, right? So that's what the Rivash is suggesting. He's suggesting bracha reflects, and he's suggesting that it's a low, not just a low plug technically, on the contrary, midah midah. Yeah?
Why does Rebbe think it can't be just a technical low plug issue?
The what?
Why is Rebbe
that's not just a bracha issue? Because the way he starts off, u'bevadai shalakichas isha b'kidushin mitzvah asay, v'eina din levad, shaharei tiknu b'albracha. I mean, the whole context here.
I'm saying in Gerushin, why can't you just be meaning?
Well, he says then in the parallel, Vilodomi Legerushin, right? Shehi din bavad, right? I'm just saying the whole presentation. It didn't have to be that way. I think you could say you could have this whole discussion on a purely bracha level. We'll see soon that I think some unfortunate you could say that, and or you should say that. But for him, there's a, you know, the whole presentation is, are these institutions dinim or mitzvos? And is that reflected by bracha? So he starts, he's saying, kiddushin is a mitzvah, not a din. Baharaya, there's a bracha. It's a funny kind of a bracha. Doesn't matter. There are reasons for that. It's a bracha that still reflects that perspective. And then he's saying, but lo dami legerushin, his bigger issue is it a mitzvah or not a mitzvah? So he's saying, no, gerushin is a din levad, which means ein kan mitzvah klal, right? You know, like lefi dvarecha. What you said about kiddushin, which is that it's not a mitzvah, I'm agreeing about gerushin. Then he's explaining, shaharei yesh gerushin shasani amashaleach, So far, he hasn't said a word about the bracha property, even if he, well, we'll get to that in a second, but it's clear that his whole structure is that the bracha reflects, but either way, the ikar focus is this a mitzvah or not? And he's saying, no, it's a din. Go ahead. The af begerushin, tanya besokit. That's quoting our Gemara again. So, right, there it's mitzvah legarsha, right? But, you know, the question is, you know, can you split those two from each other, right? Vimnasa acher.
He says, "Hine she'afa pishe mitzvah zu hidin, hine yish ba mitzvah mamish, ella she'im varchen alko kala."
So now he's saying, now he seems to be, now he seems to transition into another what Binyamin was saying, and that is, you know, that maybe there is a mitzvah, you know, legaresh. You know, in circumstances where, you know, where her behavior, you know, is ervas davar. And then he has this kind of, he's stuck a little bit in between. She'afa bisha mitzvah zu hi din, hine yesh ba mitzvah mamish. Very unclear formulation. Meaning what? It's a kiyum of some sort. Elash emivarchin al kalkal. So this is the pullback position where there is a mitzvah element attached. I mean, gerushin is a din. Under certain conditions, there's a mitzvah. And even where there's a mitzvah, right, there's no bracha because emivarchin al kalkal. This breaks the equation. And this is something which is consistent with, as we'll see, other discussions, again, in the Rav Yosef Ibn Palat, Ravi Abad, you know, in that whole, you know, process, where sometimes you have a mitzvah, but if there's an ambivalence, if there's a, like a negative, you know, component, you know, then it's not just not Roy Levarich. Some of the Rishonim, actually, sometimes Rav Yosef Ibn Palat even calls it, like, you know, mitzvah, haba b'aveira. But they don't mean it literally. It's not like a mitzvah haba b'aveira, which is not, you know, chal. It's, what they mean is that there's an aveira, like there's an ambivalence, there's an aveira kind of element in the mitzvah, and that's a kalkala, you know, that, you know, determines that there's no bracha. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. And he gives the example of it. Kamo. Yeah, so cholitza sivimto is a great example, because that's one of the Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat. They say, because the mitzvah is liave. So if you do chalitza, you know, you've passed over the ikar mitzvah. So even though there is a mitzvah of, you know, chalitza under these conditions, and maybe you count it even, right, but ain't mevarchin, because it's still second best. So there's a kind of a kalkal, or of course, a mashka sasota. Go ahead. Yeah?
So he says, Menoli Lamar, going back to the Kuntras, Sha'ochel Nabil Ibn Achai, La'obra La'asei the Bizabachto, Kibin Sha'ochel Belushkito, Afa Pi, Shiish Ba'ahiwasa, Lam Tzadakir. So he says, Af the Yia Kain, Ba'af Yia Kain, Bishkito Vachin Begirishin, and then Masha Omri, Mitzvah, Throw the Garsha, Asmach the Ba'al.
Yeah, so he's basically all over the map. The beginning is very clear. The contrast between Kiddushin and Gerushin. Things he says about Kiddushin are very important. The Gerushin is basically cases where, you know, there's no mitzvah. It's the same institution, nishma to everything else. Then there comes this, you know, kind of more pullback position where he... It's a din, you know, and a mitzvah in the circumstances where he's obligated to divorce her, and still in mevarchin al hakalkala. And then in the end, he's, you know, became begerishin, when you talk about mitzvah min haTorah l'garsha, that's not daraisa, that's only a din drabanan. Maybe in this whole second, you know, perspective, he's basically, you know, in light of what he says in the end, saying that there's a mitzvah drabanan that might have engendered a bracha under certain, you know, conditions. But again, the, you know, broader institutional reality that there are gerushins, you know, in which the mizbeach is crying, you know, in which there's certainly no mitzvah, it's even sanu lamakom, all of that is determining for the daraisa. So it's really a little bit hard to figure out what the relationship is between the, you know, the continuation of the rivash and the beginning of the rivash, but either way, certain things emerge pretty clearly. Yeah.
In the fallback position, does he think that there is an inability to be a metallic between Gershon that is like Chov and Gershon that is Anachov, and therefore he's characterizing all types of Gershon as a mitzvah, but not really.
You mean in the second, yeah, kind of what I'm calling the second view?
Yeah.
It sounds like in the second view, what he's saying is, you know, maybe, you know, maybe what I said previously, you know, that because there are Gershons which are clearly B'dieved, maybe that doesn't determine that all Gerushin is not a mitzvah. Maybe there are Gerushins that are a mitzvah. Nonetheless, there wouldn't be a bracha because even in those situations, you know, it's a kalkala. Right. The reason that there's a mitzvah is because of the unhappy, you know, circumstances, the improper behavior, and that you can't make a chetzah shel bracha, you know, on the Dabar Makul Kal.
So he would say that there are two different types of Gershon. There's Gershon.
Correct.
You don't make a brachan because it's a din, and there's Gershon that is a mitzvah, but it's a
Kala. Correct. But even when he says that, he's still calling Gershon a din, even as he's saying, Hine Yesh Ba Mitzvah Mamish. It's strange. And then the final words, which may be the Kasav HaShlishi HaMachria, is that when we say Mitzvah HaTorah L'Garsha, that's an Asan. You know, he doesn't say that refers to the cases, you know, where, you know, there's improper behavior. Right. So it's a little unclear. It's a little unclear, but definitely the beginning is clear. The end is pretty clear. The in-between is a little bit trickier. Okay. So this, let's just compare this for a moment to, you know, to the Tshuva of the Rajba and to the Abhidram, just so we can get through this. We'll try to finish soon. Yossi, have that?
I have the Rajba.
Rajba in, what is it, Tuf? No. Aleph Yudchas. Yeah. So that, of course, is, let's see if I have it here somewhere. I think I copied some of these things, but maybe not all of them. Aleph Yudchas is, you know, that's part of the Rajba's, you know, presentation of, again, the Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat issue. You have it in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, just give me one second. I thought I had it. If not, you know, as long as you have it, that's what's important. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, it's on the board? Okay, great. Yeah. So what do we have? Go ahead.
So he says, "Ain al gerushin, b'shuv diyish miktas agirushin shein ba'aviro, yivun shlo motzavu adaver erva, magarsha." Because in that case, you're
saying dvar veira, right? Shmatzu advar veira, right? Magarsha, shasanui. What's that? Oh, so I'm sorry. Shlo motzavu dvar veira magarsha shasanui am shalayach. So he's trying to explain what? Why there's no bracha. Right. Go ahead.
But after Pish Yish mitzvah b'miktasan, we're going Otsan Anoshim Shenasim b'papiro Shemitzvah b'garshon.
Right. He's not even talking about her improper conduct. This adds another element, you know, to the mix here. You know, it's where he marries somebody Meirosh, right? To, you know, it's Chagi Lavin or something like that. So it's mitzvah b'garshon. Yeah. So that's different than the Rivash. Basically, what he's saying is that even from a Hilchos Brachos point of view, you would actually make a bracha. There is a mitzvah legaresh, again, is it only in the cases, again, where to begin with, he's not, you know, allowed to marry her, right? Or is it even, you know, in cases where, you know, where he's obligated to divorce her? Probably, but either way, it's an expansion. That's very interesting. The question of, you know, conduct versus the objective status. But basically, what he's saying is that there is a mitzvah, you know, regarish in miksas cases, in the cases, you know, where it's appropriate. As for the bracha, you're not even using the, you know, the kalkala idea. What he's saying is, in a chanami, if it wasn't for lo plug in hilchos brachos, you would actually be making a bracha in the gerushins of those cases, right? As a matter of practice and policy, you don't, but that's for purely technical reasons. That is very different, you know, than even the second explanation. The first explanation of the Ribash is this, this simply never, you know, it doesn't qualify as a mitzvah. The second one is that, you know, if it is a mitzvah, whether that's a mitzvah drabban or whatever it is, so you would make a bracha, except it's, you know, the content of it, you know, in hilchos brachos, it's a hilchos brachos halacha, is not, you know, is not appropriate. And the Rashba is saying, even hilchos brachos, never mind the mitzvah, you know, and the Rashba is totally comfortable saying there's a mitzvah when there's a chiyuv, and there's no mitzvah when there's no chiyuv. Yeah, yes.
So he brings in the next line, he compares it to Misas Bezdin, where he says that by Misas Rishon, we're one to think you're being for it, but you're not because
that's more like kalkala.
Right, so I don't know what, so I don't know what his comparison is.
That's a great point. I'm not sure. That's not what he's saying.
Right, right.
Fill
so
that.
I don't know why.
Yeah, they have that line? Just read it out.
Yeah, once we're doing that, you should read the one before it also. The
yeah, go ahead.
The way that,
that he
the
is
going.
The
other way of yes.
Okay, so read the line
yeah,
before.
Read the one before also.
I just don't have it. I thought I had it in my things by
then.
Oh, you mean you're not commanding me to read it?
No.
You're only imposing your will on Yossi. I got that.
So I'll do one first.
You're coercing Yossi. Yeah. Go ahead.
The one before, the Emma Barton on mitzvah, Sheikari ate a mitzvah, Gon Khalitza Vivum, Sheikri should prepare for Rivya, but he ate a mitzvah, he ate a mitzvah about prayers for Rivya.
Yeah.
So that's the one before.
So what does that mean?
So, because I guess her, you'd only make the bracha if they're both mechuyev in what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the Yibam part. The yeah, that's a little bit complicated. Okay, yeah.
No, but nobody, what he doesn't say is what the Rivash said about Halisha.
Right.
He doesn't say it's a kalkala. And that, oh, it's like, you know, it, since it's only a diavad, you know, which is what, correct. Although, again, in the versions of, I'll, you know, read you the Abudram one, I don't think I have that part. But it, in the Abudram, Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat, he does say that.
Right.
That's Mishum Kalkala. But here he's saying different pshat, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, by Misas Bezdin, he says, V'chein in Baruch Ham Misas Bezdin, V'sha'ashem Yisbar Chas Abri Yosef, Eno Chafit, B'misas and Shavashah, L'fikat in Baruch Ham Aleh.
So the V'chein here, I would say, is not, you know, V'hu Hadin, in the sense that he's equating them, he's giving you like a range of different you know, explanations why there you can have mitzvahs without brachas. That's what I would say. But that's a good point. Meaning these are not mutually exclusive. It could be overlapping, you know, requirements, you know, for bracha. Right. But I think it's a good hara, well, on both of your parts. Okay. The Abudraham, yeah. Yeah.
Were we ever saying for the, just to clarify, were we ever saying for the Rivash that the lack of bracha in Yerushin reflects a lack of mitzvah?
I think the first thrust of the Rivash is saying that.
That a lack of bracha.
I mean, put it this way, he says Kiddushin is a din and not a mitzvah, v'haraya, there's a bracha.
Yeah, that's that direction.
And then he's saying in Gerushin, in the beginning part of the Rivash, you know, is a din. And you see from cases where it's, you know, Sani Lamakom, you know, that it's certainly only, you know, a din. And I think if you were to stop right there, you know, then of course there's no bracha because there's no mitzvah. You know. Then he's continuing, you know, on and addressing, what about cases where we use the expression mitzvah lagarsha, right? And then he's saying, okay, in those cases, you're right, you would require a bracha because it's a kind of a mitzvah, but, you know, it's mishum kalkala. And then in the end he's saying, and by the way, that statement is an asmacht. So implicit in the first perspective where he's saying that there's no mitzvah whatsoever, midda midda, is that, you know, of course there's no issue of bracha. You don't need the explanation, you know, of kalkala, you know, and so on. Okay. In the Abu Dram one, anybody get a chance? Is it up there? It is up there. Okay. Let's see. Do I have it? I'm trying to, you know, show off my technological skills. Maybe not doing such a good job. Wait. Yeah, go ahead. So I have the, they put out a better text. That's why I'm trying to. The question is, do I have it or don't I have it? Oh, okay. This is it's Chav Beis. Okay, in the Varchan of Achalisa, Mishu the Mitzvah Ba Ba Be'er, that's what I was referring to before, by which he means the Ka'avar Alasei Be'ibon. He doesn't mean it's not Chal, obviously. It's always Chal. The Chayna Isha, Eina Isha Be'barakas Al Achalisa, the Lo Alaya Ayibon, Mishu the Lo Mitzvah Ab Yerubarim, that's already getting, you know, the Kim Chen of the Mitzvah Sibobin, the Mitzvah Chalisa, Krav Yossi, etc. Okay, bye. The chain ein bevarchin al hagerushim, right? The sonui hamishaleach, the ispa aveira. First of all, ispa aveira is stronger. Okay, that's kind of what the Rivash was saying. Right, this is early, way earlier than the Rivash. Bim nafshich lomar librech al hanich nashi the mitzvah lagarshan, right? Beleis behu aveira. By the way, it's also an interesting lashon. Is he implying that whenever that only when there's mitzvah lagarshon is there leis behu aveira? Right? And that is there an in-between where it's not mitzvah lagarshon but, you know, there's also no aveira? Let's say, the grounds, let's say, Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, you know, as opposed to there's no grounds whatsoever. Maybe it's leis behu aveira, but it's certainly not mitzvah lagarshon. All right. Anyways, just an interesting lashon that he sees it as a zero sum. You know, mitzvah lagarshon beleis behu aveira, but kigon osa shekofin osa lahotzi. That's similar to the Jewish Sarach. Trump Sarach is coming from here. The chain, but this is a really interesting one. Misha shasa eser shanim, right v'leyolda. So again, we have, you know, much of our erva's davar or things in the marriage. You know, that would be an example of mitzvah ve'ein aveira pasha. Chayiv lahotziyam, like chayiv elavin or something like that. As I say, is different, you know, but understandable. Could be better, could be worse. You know, that's the example cited in the Rajba. But Misha Shasa Eser Shanim B'Layolda, you know, is particularly interesting because there's no, you know, there's a chiyuv maybe to be Megaresh, but of course there's no wrongdoing, you know, whatsoever. Right? Ubemai Dedami Lahon, right? She'ein Begei Rushayan, you know, Aveira. Again, it, you know, that's what I was saying before. There's a mitzvah in these cases or there's just no Aveira? Well, I don't know why I'm reading this. Binyamin, go ahead. Yeshlomar.
Yeshlomar, Klopog Rabbanon, Begerishin, Degaz Rihani,
Akhanami. So that means what? That in Akhanami, again, there is a mitzvah Lagarish in these cases, and he's expanded it, you know, not only, he's expanded it even more, correct? But there's no bracha because of Loplok. Right? What's really interesting is then the next line, go ahead.
Inami, we should.
Wow. Why is that shocking?
it's blaming the husband for the Gershin.
Or maybe it's a suffix blaming, but not blaming, because there's no blame. The halakha wants him to get divorced.
But I mean,
that's clear.
He is the reason.
But if he's the reason why there are no children, you know, so, and that's always a possibility, right? So then lo mitzvah avid begeirishin. Meaning, what's shocking about this? This is all kamei. I mean, you know, maybe to now you could check it out, but you know, we have advanced medicine in these things. But this is all, at this point, this is all Kame Shmaya Galya. So who would have thought, and of course this is the Kiddush.
That Gemara Nivamos relates to this exact point. Though. I mean, he's not just making up this idea that it might be his fault.
No, 100%. He's not making that up at all. The question is that a relevant factor to Mitzvah Lagaresh? Meaning, it's Kame Shmaya Galya, and the Halacha thinks that in this case, this is what he should do. Right, so does, let's say it's Kami Shmaya Galya, that it's his chisar. You know, that means that it wasn't a mitzvah lagarsha. Only if it's her blame. I mean, the Kami Shmaya Galya will dictate, as opposed to the norm of conduct and behavior, will determine whether it's a mitzvah or maybe, you know, it's certainly not an avera, right? So, but it won't be a mitzvah unless, you know, it's really objectively true, you know, that this was the right thing. Wow. Okay. So that's very, very mechudash. Okay. I'm going to try to end up here soon. So these are, you know, three important versions: the Rivash, the Tshuvas HaRashba, you know, the Abudram, of again different perspectives. Why is there no bracha? More important, you know, the absence of bracha. No bracha fundamentally, no bracha because they're, you know, it's kalkala, no bracha because there's no plug. More importantly, is there, you know, a mitzvah lagarish under certain conditions? A. What are those conditions? How expansive is that? You know, what about, you know, is it only chai b'lavin? Is it chai b'lavin and what's a bayer, what's davar? What about the, according to Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, when it's Matzah Ishana Himena or it's Ikdicha Tavshilo, are those, you know, not Averos? Are those mitzvahs? What about the in-between mitzvahs and Avera? And then this kind of huge Kiddush, which is, you know, the guy, there's certainly no Avera Biyado, on the contrary, this is what he's supposed to do, apparently. And, you know, so it depends, like, Kape, you know, Kame Shmaya Galya, whether there's a mitzvah, you know, or not? Wow. Okay.
Why is there no bracha on the other one?
Why is there no bracha in which other one?
On the other Kofen of Tolohotzi.
Oh, you mean according to this? Yeah, no, I mean, that, you know.
So it's all because of this now?
What?
So the low plug is all because of the blood?
Is that, you think that's what it means?
No,
I thought he was saying, A, it's a low plug. And B, in some cases, you know, what looks like a mitzvah isn't a mitzvah anyway. In some cases. Because he had already given this as an example. You know, so in other words, A, it's a low plug. And that, you need the low plug. It's a low plug for the ones, you know, for whom there's no mitzvah and maybe there isn't a avera. Right? Moreover, the last case isn't, you know, isn't even on the docket. Because there, you know, it's a suffek mitzvah, so of course there's no, you know, bracha. Right, that's what I think you said. Okay. So I mentioned that the smag, also seems to distinguish, you know, between gerushin and nisuin. In Mitzvah Saseh Memches, the Smag says Mitzvah Saseh LeKadesh Isha BeKesef O BeShtar O BeBia BeKulam BeEdim. So and then, you know, when it comes to Gerushin, who has in Mitzvah Nun, V'Hayam Lo Timsachein BeAinav BeKesef LeSefer Krisis VeNasim BeYada VeShilchem BeBeSo MiMikra Zeh LaMadnu Ikare HaGerushin VeHeim Asar Edvarim Min HaTorah. Of course, as I say, there, you know, the smag is heavily you know, influenced by the Rambam. Smag is one of the Balei Tosis, Rav Moshe Mikutzi, and he's, you know, of course, you know, he comes from that world, and you know, is very much a product of that world. And at the same time, like, you know, his, the chiddush of his work is that he integrated this, you know, Balei Tosis heritage, you know, with the Rambam. So of course, this line about, you know, the Heimatzar and Dvarim and Torah comes from the Rambam. But what's interesting is when he says Mitzaseh Lekadesh Isha Bekesef Obishnaru Bebiya Bekulam Be'edim, you know, it doesn't sound to me that that's, you know, a full, you know, embrace of the Rambam's view, you know, which is, you know, Kisha Yirtza Lisa, you know, that he should marry Erusin Kodem Nisuin with the Edom. The Kulam Be'edim part is from the Rambam, clearly. But the language sounds more like a kubba say of, you know, lekadesh isha bekesef obishtaru bebiya, not so much the imyirtza part, you know, but more of a kubba say chiyuv. So again, I think it's an interesting, you know, combination. I think the Balei Tosis, as reflected also by the Smak, thought that the mitzvah lekadesh is a mitzvah lekadesh, you know. Again, but because of the influence of the Rambam is so overwhelming, as I said, so I think the Gerushin part kind of gets, you know, taken over by the Rambam's 10 Dvarim. And the Kiddushin part, you know, you get kind of, you know, a Balei Tosis Kumbase with an added, you know, Vekulan Be'edim, you know, of the Rambam. But the effect is that, you know, still now we're talking like, you know, like the Rivash and so on, you know, maybe there's a mitzvah B'Kiddushin, but not B'Gerushin. Just like there's a bracha B'Kiddushin and not B'Gerushin. Right. And now what I'm saying is that the Smag counts a mitzvah of Kiddushin and a mitzvah of Gerushin, but in a very different way. The mitzvah of Kiddushin is Lekadesh, and the mitzvah of Gerushin is just like the Parsha or the Din or the Asara Dvarim. You know, so even though they both count, they're counted and they have different, you know, implication, which totally makes sense based on the presentation of the Rambam also, just I don't think that's what the Rambam's pshat is on the mitzvah. On the other hand, let's contrast that with the stronger parallel in the Smak. So the Smak, I don't put the one of Kiddushin down. The Smak says, you know, to get married. Anybody have language of the Smak in Kiddushin? Yeah. Lekadesh Asaisha. And in Gerushin, it's Legaresh Asaisha. Right? In the mitzvah Kuf Peidal. Dichsiv Kimatzav Erbas Davar. The Kasav La. Sefer Krisis Venasan Viada. Right? Interesting. Ervas Davar Kagon Overes Aldats Moshe. Misham Shasonida Machilasa Shena Musa. These are the things we have to talk about more. Velo Kotza Lachala Venoderes Shena Mekayemes Kagon Overes Aldats Yehudis. That also be an expansion. But either way, for the Smak, right, getting, so again, getting divorced is only in a context of Erbas Davar, right? Obviously, getting divorced, getting married, you know, is unqualified. You know, getting divorced in the situation where, you know, you're supposed to. So he's expanding Erbas Davar, but, you know, it's a mitzvah legarish. It's not, you know, kisha yirtza, you know, legarish, or even kisha tzorich legarish, yigarish, you know, biksav, you know, dafka, right? So the, again, so the smak, I think, maintains a total parallel, but then has to limit the mitzvah to Beis Shammai or Ervas Davar, or expansion of Ervas Davar type cases, which is consistent with some other Rishonim that we just saw. If you ask him why is there no bracha, you'll give one of these other answers. Plug, ala kalkala, you know, and so on and so forth. And the smag is really saying kiddushin is a mitzvah to do it, and gerushin, you know, it's about the methodology, you know, whether it's the emphasis of the ksav or it's only a din. Either way, that's what it is. The Sefer HaChinuch, of course, as usual, but you know, even then you have to investigate it. Very much influenced by the Rambam. You have it, Yonatan? Tuf kufain tes. In a way, in these things, he's actually even a little more explicit. You have it? Go ahead. So what's the emphasis here?
So it seems to...
Two emphases. Number one, the word harotza. Right? And second one? The bishtar. So it's ala rotza legarish sheyigar shenu bishtar. Not a mechuyev. Right? Not ha, you know, mitzuveh. It's again, in the methodology, it's totally the Rambam. And then clearly, just keep going. Shinit stavenu. Again, the kishinirtsa, clear, right? And the emphasis on the methodology. Okay. Bauzek sav yomar.
Bauzek sav yomar. A pasuk sefer krisos. Vugushit ro oso rabu senu zichrono lebracha get.
Okay.
I mean, targim sefer zeg get. Bauzek nemar because of lost sefer krisos and also on biyata v'shalcham mibeso.
Okay. The Shrashi HaMitzvah, of course, very interesting, a little bit, you know, quizzical in parts, but very interesting and very informative. You know, and you can, even if you don't like the formulations completely, you can, as I say, adapt them a little bit, you know, if you think that you have a more precise way of, you know, formulating them in a more positive way. I have no trouble with that. But still, the ideas are very important. Go ahead, Mishrashi HaMitzvah.
Mishrashi HaMitzvah, L'fisha Isha Nivrez Le'ezer La'adam, V'hi Lo Echad Mikli Chandoso.
Right, so that part, you know, is, I don't know if that's so, you know, critical to formulate, but either way, meaning the bond between them and the connection between them is part of the, you know, the destiny of man. Ukinin Shamru Zakarna Levracha. Elamisha Asa Kli. The Gemara is talking about, you know, again, that doesn't mean it's Echad Mikli Chamdasa necessarily, but, right, there is this idea that, you know, the Ish V'Isha complete each other, and in that relationship, at least on a formalistic level, certainly, there's a division of labor, and that the Baal is the kind of dominant person in the Kenyan. Right, Achar Shekain.
Achar Shekain, Haya Miritzono Baruch Hu, She Kol's Man She Yikos Nafsho V'Kli Hazeh She Yotzienu Mibeso.
Oh, okay. So this is basically saying, oh, the Baal's dominant position, you know, gives him this right, right, and that of course consistent with the fact that he's the Mekadesh, he's, you know, the Megarish, even Bal Karcha, is the Yakutz Nafsho V'Kli Yishiotzen Beso, meaning is a whim or? You know, again, because, you know, he created the Kenyan and he's the Bailim, it's all part of that, or is this, you know, because Yakut's Nafsho, you know, is antithetical, you know, to what the bond is supposed to be. Right, that Uminatamazad.
Uminatamazad, Yishmi Rabusina Shi Yomru Vidimarikin, Shafilu Hektiha Tapshilo Yakulagarja.
So the Chinuch here is not saying, you know, what I've been saying, which is, or some of the other Mepharshim say, but at least, or maybe it's what some of the other Mepharshim are saying, it could work into what I'm saying too, but I don't think this is what he really means. Meaning, Kekticha Tavshilo, it's certainly not what the Meir is saying, put it that way. He's saying, you know, Kekticha Tavshilo is a Davar Katan, you know, and, you know, nonetheless, if the result is, you know, the poisoned or toxic, you know, environment, then nonetheless, that's grounds for divorce, as opposed to saying, like the Meiri, which is, you know, it looks like, you know, Davar Katan, but really it's an act of merit, you know, or, you know, she's also poisoning the, you know, the environment, you know, and so on. So this is important in the Chinuch. Keep going. So again, he's making it more like, you know, it's his dominant control, and therefore, even if it's a Davar Katan, and even if the Davar Katan doesn't, you know, reflect something, you know, even more flawed, which is the other perspective, or, you know, the capacity to, you know, to exercise his will is like an investment. He's not saying any of that. He's basically saying that the Baal is a dominant, you know, force in this, you know, at least formally and legally in this structure. You know, he's Mekadesh, he has Gerish and Bal Korcha, and therefore his whim, even on a Davar Katan, is also Koveya. Go ahead. Umehem Sheyomru.
Umehem Sheyomru, Kimi Yosakli Hazeh, Betsalmo Vitmuso, Vitchanan Akel Vitsorcho Vitchov. Odo. Naim Liros vos Naim Lishmoth and Nefesh Siphilis. And Roy Lot Zeal Lishalcha Me'alof Ki in Betaina Gol.
Oh, this, of course, is the other part, meaning, you know, everybody has Tzelem Elokim and the mutual respect that is accorded, that should be accorded, and even more so in the context of the davarship kedusha of a marriage, and therefore ein roi lahotzia v'lishalcha me'alav ki betayna gedola. Yeah, ukin shamra kasuv.
Ukin shamra kasuv ki matzav erbas davar.
Yeah. So again, if you were to translate this into, you know, hikdicha, how does that fit to a hikdicha tavshilo or matzah isha? No, amena. You'd have to say, right, either that these represent, you know, not the whim, but, you know, again, more severe, you know, objective flaws, or you'd have to say, you know, that if they don't, it's still, you know, the alternative, you know, of tying them together, you know, when the environment is toxic, you know, is just, you know, worse for this goal. Okay, keep going. But of course, he's explaining more, you know, the shita of matzah by erba zdav. Okay,
Aval mikol makom divrei akol kishem matzah by erba gadol shavroi legarsha min atam shezacharti shehi lo nivrez elo bishvilo ba'achar shehi lo loras rufo v'nafsho katzeva in hefrach alav liyos isa al kol panim kasher yasu kitzatzmin.
Oh, this is of course very interesting, right? Sheyichrusu bris ima isha bris chazaka ad sheol tachnis, you know, till death do us part. Wow, till death do us part. Well, yeah, velotira ala pirud.
Go ahead.
Velotira ala
pirud. Ve'im tase le'ino of hazama v'tafir.
Hazima.
Hazima v'tafir kol asher rabayis v'tavir.
Wow. Meaning, so again, this is, again, you know, you have to know how to read these, or not to know how to read. You know, you have to, you know, you can sometimes, you know, take parts, again, authoritatively, if you want to quote a Mefarish, you have to say what they say. But there can be ideas, you know, that you can adapt a little bit if they're more, if you think that they're, you know, more precise. You wouldn't say it in the full authority or representing what the Chinuch says. But obviously, this is a reference to the alternative, and it's just so interesting the way that he describes it. Again, he describes it a little bit too much, you know, for my taste, in terms of, again, the dominant, you know, role of, well, like, you know, it's his, it's at his pleasure, and therefore, like, if it's a toxic environment, you know, why should he have to live with this? I would prefer to formulate it, you know, everybody has Tzelem Elokim. The Ishus is, you know, a way of elevating, you know, both of them and the bond and so on. He does have a predominant role. That's part of the formal differences, you know, between husband and wife. He's not supposed to abuse that, but it is certainly part of the reality. The idea that in all circumstances, no matter, you know, if a toxic relationship, you know, develops between them, you know, that they would be bound together is, in the end, it sounds good. You know, if it was the Rabbanu Sholem and Klal Yisrael, they'd have to work it out, because objectively speaking, it, you know, it can always be good, and it should never be toxic. But between flawed human beings or incompatible human beings, you know, since there, you know, can be, you know, through actual events and pressures, or just people growing distant, or them having miscalculated, you know, Meirosh, or one of them having miscalculated Meirosh, you know, when there is a toxic, you know, environment, you know, is it a kiyum in the Ishus, you know, to say ad sheol tachtis, you know, till death, you know, do us part in all circumstances? Or at that point, on the contrary, the Kedushas HaIshus itself. Again, he's portraying it more in terms of, you know, his prerogative. This is all his prerogative. You know, and if it's not his prerogative or he doesn't like it, then that's the end of it. I think you can formulate it, you know, a little bit differently. But it's the sentiments are very important. And the contrast to other systems, you know, Catholicism, you know, where there's no divorce, basically. So, again, it sounds like, oh, they're more machmir. We are the Kedushas HaIshus. Right? And that's kind of how he's portraying how they present it. And he's saying that, you know, is how it looks superficially, you know, but when you, you know, assess, you know, what's really going on here, you know, this is not a healthy, you know, this is not a key omniscience. And I think that's very, very important. And of course, the language is amazing. You know, again, you know, it's not always about personalities, and especially if it's about Beishamai, it's about Zima and Tachriv Kol Asher B'Bayis and Tavriv Eish Kol Asher Migadish V'Ad Kama. You know, not only physically, like she's burning down the house, meaning, or he, for that matter. Vamnam. Sivsonu HaTorah, this is so interesting. Go ahead. Oh, so this could be, you know, now comes the, you know, his view like the Rambam, which is, you know, it's the methodology that is the mitzvah. So is that going to end up being for more extraneous reasons? Or is kind of that a little bit of a concession, you know, to some of the factors, right, that might have militated against, you know, there being a gerushin to begin with. Meaning, we're saying, oh, this is a davar shebikdusha, you know, it should be like our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. It should be, like, permanent. It certainly shouldn't be, you know, subject to frivolous or trivial things, right? So is the derech haget, you know, emblematic of that? The mitzvah, you know, that's where you get this expression, or no? So he has here, go ahead. Penyelonu
hu lezela emin, and I have the least or mitchel dios, izima, bisoch
imein. Amenu.
Shetiton hamizane al ba'ala, ki hu garsha mimena. Gamiye sehagirushin matzoi harbe.
Oh. Meaning, so he's saying two different things. Number one, this is more of an extraneous thing, but not completely extraneous. Meaning you need a get because, you know, we're trying to protect Klal Yisrael, you know, from, you know, a breakdown, you know, in discipline when it comes to this Kedusha area. And if there was, you know, if you had verbal gittin, that would be an Eva Negev and a Michshol that would engender more Zima, right? One of the reasons we're allowing for, you know, a get, you know, is to protect, you know, the environment of Kedusha. And titona mezana al ba'ala ki ugirsha mimenu. You'd have, you know, if there's no, you know, record keeping or objective record, then you just have to, you know, based on people's words, that would be a calamitous. So that's kind of it's extraneous, you know, vis-a-vis this relationship, put it this way. It's not extraneous, you know, vis-a-vis protecting the interests of Klal Yisrael, and especially if it's like a mitzvah mutelas ala tzibur, you know, or there's a special bezdin, you know, aspect of it. So the ksiva is a way of, you know, accentuating and upholding high standards, you know, for Klal Yisrael, consistent with what get is about, but nothing to do with this particular gerushin. Yeah. Or, but there's a different aspect that we made reference to this a couple of from the beginning, right? Gamie Maisa Hagerushin Matsui Harbe. Meaning, you know, if you could just, you know, verbally Megaresh, you know, and it wasn't so long and arduous process, you know, then, you know, it would be Kalabain of Lahotzia, and this would become more ubiquitous. You know, this kind of puts the brakes on it, like a Get Mekushar or a Ksuva. But more than that, I think it also underscores, you know, how serious it is. And going back to my original point, you know, the derech ksiva of it highlights the matir part of it. In other words, you have to do this in a way, and part of that is the lishma and the ksiva and the, you know, the process, not only to slow him down, but also to, you know, accentuate again that this is not just, oh, we're terminating the relationship. We're going back to ponui, you know, upnuya. But you need a matir. You know, this is a very serious thing. You can do it because that's necessary in some cases, and it's consistent with, you know, kedusha, and it's a protection against, you know, even greater abuses, whether they are, you know, the inability to police, you know, minimally acceptable behavior within the marriage, or, you know, the sense of, oh, I'm stuck, you know, whereas if he knows that he has options, then he'll appreciate, you know, that his relationship is good, or at least sufficiently good. Things like that. Or, as I say, you know, in guaranteeing the minimum level of kedusha to begin with, my perspective. But for all these reasons, the ksav and what it symbolizes in terms of the matir, in addition to the breaks, is important. Keep going. Acheinata.
Acheinata shenis chaydenu lichto hadvar b'sefer
the ha'ed edim, using the language of the pasuk in Yeshaya, the ha'ed edim, right?
Tzricha. Yeah.
And that's for the reason number one, you know, the Klal Yisrael protection reason. The ode. The Godlah Shalom, which is certainly true. That's like, you know, the Get Mekusher slash Ksuva. But again, I'm saying a little bit, you know, I'm certainly saying a little bit more than that. Okay. Then also very interesting, the overall Zeh. So this is very mechudash in my opinion. Again, we're all familiar with the structure and language, you know, of the Sefer HaChinuch. It's not unusual for him to say va'over al zeh, etc. You don't do the mitzvah, whatever. That in addition to, squandering the opportunity to do something, you know, properly or to be mekayim a mitzvah, you know, that you're also mevatel a mitzvah. You know, he does that quite often, but you know, it's not reflexive and automatic. And in each case, you have to think about it. So is this really true? Meaning if you over begirish ishto velo kasav get kemitzas haTorah, that's called bitul aseh? As opposed to what, Akiva? What would you have said?
It's hard to imagine that the gerishin was chal. So
the gerishin's not chal. That's correct. That's exactly the point. So he didn't do anything. He wasn't mevatel the mitzas aseh of gerishin. He just didn't do anything. So that this should qualify as, you know, bita lase is a little bit shocking. What does it highlight? And I mean, he agrees that it doesn't do anything, right? That's what's why it's mechudash.
It's
right?
Also odd that he says anjo gadol ha'od that you're going to be matzik or can be reshes, but suddenly you're not going to do anything with it.
Right, exactly. The same. It's reinforced on. You didn't do anything here. Anjo gadol mi'od should. You know, Dina Keishi, yeah, she's always been an Eishah Seed. Nothing happened. It's futile. You know, but futile means bitel asei zeh. But if you think that the asei of Gerushin, that the methodology is really an expression of the Davar Shebikdusha, but you have to do it this way, this method, you know, because it's all about, you know, promoting Kedusha and discouraging, you know, erva in the community, discouraging, precipitous, you know, disrespectful behavior that is antithetical to the very bond and institution of Ishus. You know, if that's what it's all about, so then you can really understand. In other words, doing this, even if it's ineffective, is kind of, adding to the toxic, you know, environment in a way without solving the problem, and in a way trivializing. You know, you're confusing, you know, the situation. Because some she or people might think that there's a kind of a get, and there isn't. But more importantly, it's almost like, you know, gushas, you know, halev. It's, you know, it's going through the motions, you know, but not having the effect. I think it's very mechudash, but I think that is what this is all about. Now, this idea, did you want to say something additional?
Yeah.
Say again?
Is the chinuch worried that now...
I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether it's that or it's symbolically, like you're just playing, you know... it's one thing to divorce and divorce properly, but since we don't take it lightly, and it's a sad, you know, and you know, adds to the you know, talks. If you don't do it right, you know, if you kind of try to do it and don't, if you do it, you know, like a Benoach, or like a, you know, we'll see, we'll get to that, then, you know, that is like, you know, adding injury to insult, we'll call it, instead of adding, you know, insult to injury. So, right. So I think there is a nichshol element to it, like, oh, people think you're divorced, but you're not. But I more think, you know, that it's about, you know, the methodology is the mitzvah, and when you basically ignore that methodology, you know, not only have you not accomplished, you know, the transaction, but you have, you know, kind of, you know, you've kind of embraced, you know, a certain perspective, you know, about Ishus, you know, which is antithetical to it being a davar shebe kedusha. Yeah. So in light of this, and going back to the Rambam for a minute, I'm going to stop here, but you'll pick up with this in Mirat Hashem tomorrow. I'm already over the time that I thought I was going to give today, but it's interesting, you know, to think about, you know, the contrast to Benoach, you know, for the Rambam and for the Chinuch. And that's what I wanted you to look at the Yerushalmi in, you know, the beginning of Kiddushin. And, you know, look at the, you know, the Farshim on the Yerushalmi also. Like, what is the status of Benoach? And the Rambam, you know, in Perek Tes Hilchos, you know, Malachim. Because I think that really kind of brings home this point in more dramatic fashion. So we'll do that, and then we'll go back and just try to define, you know, better some of the shittos of the Silabe Shammai Rabbi Akiva, and again, that Shakla Vitaria, you know, Rapapa, and some of the Psakim, you know, of you know, Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni. Is that a little bit more that we need to do on this? And then after we finish this, probably Sunday, Mirat Hashem, we could do, hopefully, Matzu Brishaso, and then the other Komos I gave you, and then we'll start on the Shtaros side of things. And, you know, so.